On the show today, we have Pure IT Creating Services' very own Jack Smith and Trent Henson talking about a pretty cool concept here, balancing the spend. The strategy credit unions can use for technology investments, and it's never been more important than now, so check it out. Before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have two fine gentlemen from Pure IT Service, Pure IT Credit Union Services. One would be Mr. Trent Henson, right next to me. Trent, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Good morning.
Good morning, Trent. Good to see you. And then right below us is Mr. Jack Smith. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Nice to see you down there. Glad you could join us. Hey, we're talking about a very interesting topic that you guys presented, and I've been kind of sitting on pins and needles to have you guys on to talk about this. It's called Balancing the Spend, the strategy credit unions can use for technology investments, which I think now is like, it's more important than ever, especially as we're kind of emerging from our COVID cocoon, if you will, kind of getting back to normal stuff here. And Jack, I want to start with you with the first question here. So before we get to the strategy, can you explain balancing the spend when it comes to technology investments?
Sure. I think what we're trying to say is, you know, making sure that you're leveraging the spend that you would usually spend on technology resources in a way that actually has ROI, return on investment, or ROA, let's say return on assets, right? And how it actually impacts a member. And so one of the things that Trent actually in our organization has been developing around our intellectual property is determining what is the right amount per assets per credit union that they should be spending on technology based on its impact to members and the overall institution from an ROA or an ROI standpoint. Okay. So that is really what we're talking about. Gotcha. That's what we're trying to look at for institutions now is really getting that balance right. Because you don't want to overspend, right? You want to make sure that but you also don't want to underspend. Mm-hmm. And you really need to figure out that perfect balance. Mm-hmm. And where is that return? Where does it start to impact your members? And how do you, because again, you know, a lot of what we do for credit unions is aligning the technology with the business strategy. But the next step in that is really making sure that you're spending it in the right areas, that you're getting the return. Because a lot of times people try to throw everything at a problem and you don't have to.
Right, right.
You can, for lack of a better term, macro it and mm-hmm. figure out what little things you can solve to really mm-hmm. impact the bigger issue. And then sometimes you do have to attack it as a large entity. So Trent, I'll throw it to you a little bit. I know this is something you're very passionate about and have been really working on, and you're looking at it from a CIO perspective right now in some institutions. So please share what you would like to as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I look at the spend in the form of basis points. So a percentage of your asset base to determine what IT should be budgeted for a specific return. So for example, we can have a credit union at, let's say, 57 basis points for their annual IT spend based on, let's say, $350 million in assets. And when we dig into that, we realize, you know what, that 57 basis points may be a little bit too high. As Jack mentioned, we're throwing everything at a problem and not really getting the solution. Mm-hmm. So we look at that strategic plan where our plan over the next 3 to 5 years is to go from 57 basis points, maybe down to 35 basis points. But keep in mind that the asset base is going up. So that's not a linear change in dollars, but in basis points or a percentage of your assets, it adds value and it right sizes the spend for the delivery of the IT services to the business.
Mm-hmm. This sounds like the Goldilocks effect, you know, not too much,
a little bit,
a little, but somewhere right in between. So how do you get a credit union to kind of, I guess, create this mindset to create this balance? Because a lot of times we've seen, people, I don't say panic, but I mean, well, I think last year was a good example of people like, oh my gosh, freaking out, sky's falling type of stuff. Then let's throw everything at this and get it solved. And sometimes it's too much, or, you know, like you said, Jack and Trent as well, sometimes it might be not enough. So how do you get a credit union to get into this mindset to keep this balance, you know, to like, you know, keep that teeter totter right there, right at level? Is it the numbers? Do you have to like show them the numbers, you know, proof, or what's, how do you guys get there?
You know, Mike, and Jack, if you don't mind, I'll answer first. I grew up with Legos. I hope you did too. They're awesome. I hope people still do.
Yep.
So if we have a Lego set with a number of pieces, 300, 500, you know, whatever that is, without the directions, without that strategic plan, I could build all kinds of things with those Legos, but it may not be as intended. I may buy the cool Star Wars Millennium Falcon, but I end up with, you know, maybe a little block chip because I didn't have the plan. I have all these pieces left over. So I overspent for what I built, but what I built isn't meeting the needs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use that same Lego example, if I follow the instructions, that strategic plan, I show value in that I have built exactly what I planned on building and delivered value back to the business. So I think the best way to look at it is to follow that Lego methodology to basis points and to strategy and explain it just that way. And I do oftentimes, I don't jump into, you know, X number of basis points and all of this, because some people are like, whoa, hold on, what did he just say? So I like to explain it in simple terms that have real value. So for a credit union, we need to spend the proper amount of money, and that can be easily, I say easily, it depends on the conversation in the audience, sure, but described as that line in the middle that Jack was talking about, but you said that Goldilocks effect. Mm-hmm. If we spend too little, we're not getting the value and we're having a lot of obstacles or roadblocks.
Yeah, yeah.
If we spend too much, however, like Jack said, we're throwing all kinds of things at the solution. We're still not getting the value. So when we combine the basis points, or what do you spend as relation to the size of your credit union and what value is being returned to the business, then we hit, as you said, that Goldilocks zone in the middle.
Yeah, it just seems like the smart thing to do.
So I think the other side of this coin, Mike, is that it's the expectations that get, so it's so interesting to us because we are somewhat helping set expectations in credit unions sometimes when we talk about these things at a high level on a strategic level. And then we have to temper that back with, okay, we're excited about this stuff and this stuff is going to have an impact, but some of these things take time. They could take 2 to 3 years to get to the fruition that you want them to. Mm-hmm. It's not a switch you flip. It's a journey that you take, right? It's a strategic journey. To Trent's point, it's the directions. Some of it is a journey, and people always like to get to the destination, right? It's almost like the kids are always in the car screaming, are we there yet? And the problem with that from an IT perspective is IT's so used to being, I hate saying this, looking bad because things that are out of their control happen when they're implementing, or when it's technology, right? And it's what will go wrong, it seems to always, the thing that you never thought would happen will happen, right?
Murphy's
and
law.
So for IT, it's a journey too. And so they have to be very good at communicating to the business and setting the right expectations along the journey so that the cost is right. Because here's what I have found sometimes, and I see it in, and it's no one's fault, but IT thinks it's going to be this. They go to the business. They say this is what it's going to be. They start taking this journey, right? And then the realization hits that it's going to be, we're going to need to pivot, or we're going to switch. And so your strategy, and Trent always says this, your strategy has to be alive. You can't just write a strategy down and then think, especially when you're dealing with technology, because it changes so rapidly. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. licensing costs. You could think licensing or this way, and then VMware could come out at the new year and say, we're changing the way that we bill you for, and you're like, oh, okay, well, we just planned everything. we just planned everything on these licensing costs. And so now you're dealing with all of this change. It's a lot of change, right? And so the thing that I say is there's a cost piece, and then there's an expectation and a reality piece. And these two things have to juxtaposition to be able to deliver these things effectively, mm-hmm. because you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. But that's why looking at it from a basis point standpoint is a very smart way, because it gives you balance. Mm-hmm. It gives you something to refer back to and go, are we getting too far? Where do we really want to go? And so it's also like a beacon almost.
I'll add to that. In our recent interview, Mike, we were talking about principles for designing solutions. So if you recall that first principle, we're looking at the vision, the mission statement, the culture of the credit union. That is very much part of the strategy, because IT does change very frequently. Technology changes. Your vision, your mission, and your culture shouldn't. So we use that as a guiding principle, our first principle, as we discussed in the previous interview, to help lay out what are we trying to accomplish for the credit union. Whether it's one vendor or another vendor, or one product or another product, shouldn't be the determining factor on what IT does for you. It should be, what are you trying to accomplish for your members?
Yeah, exactly. Now, did you guys, I don't want to say, did you discover this? But I mean, I'm saying, have you found this issue being kind of prevalent in the industry because of the digital transformation everybody is on, right? Or the digital transformation journey most are on right now. And even, and then again, throwing in the whole pandemic effect of people trying to do this quickly, people getting really excited about cool new technology, the shiny red ball syndrome type stuff. So is it kind of all that kind of piled into one that you really kind of have to kind of develop something like this to kind of keep yourself in check? Is that kind of a, it's almost kind of a, like a philosophy.
Trent? I would say the short answer is yes. The slightly longer answer is there are a lot of VARs out there, value-added resellers, who have an incentive to sell one product over another. And they're going into these financial institutions in the form of credit unions, and they're saying, I have this great new red ball, this shiny widget, and the credit union says, and I need that, and they buy that. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if you buy that and you don't have the strategy, if you don't understand how will this actually help my business, how will this help me deliver financial well-being to my members, then we may go on that overspend side. So I have these, you know, big bucket of the shiny red balls, but not providing any value.
Exactly.
I'll give you another great example, because we were literally on the phone on Monday with a credit union that's very large and having a very strategic conversation about where the industry is as a whole from a technology perspective. And the reality is that there's all these companies trying to help credit unions right now that sell software, let's use software instead of even hardware. And their biggest issue is really that they don't understand the industry. And so they sell the industry this great tool, and the industry and the credit union buys the tool, and they're excited about the tool, and they get it, and they realize they don't have any clue how to implement it, how to use it effectively in their environment. And they don't have anyone in house that has that knowledge. And so what happens is and I call them the fintechs that come into our space, and I love them and I want them here because we need them. But what they don't understand, and this is the sad part, and we were having this conversation at a very high level with a very large credit union, is how a credit union may not be, and I don't want to use the word sophisticated, but if you're used to selling this technology to an enterprise and you think you just throw it over to the fence and they just make it work, that doesn't work in this space. It might with an extremely large credit union. I'm talking like Navy Federal, you know, large. But that doesn't always work with a 500 million in asset credit union, or even a billion in asset credit union. And so there's a journey that these credit unions have to go on when they're adopting these new technologies that are phenomenally awesome and very highly sophisticated. But you have to have the knowledge, and then they have to connect to your core, and they have to connect to your lending, and they have to, and all these little things, all what I call the landmines that no one tells you about when they're selling you the solution. And then you buy it, and then the CEO is mad 3 years later when the solution's not even fully implemented and you're not getting the value out of it. And that's an issue. So you better have a strategy. You need a guide to take you down that path. And that's really what we try to do. We're trying to help the credit union take these very sophisticated things and get them implemented as quickly as possible, but make it happen for them in the way that it should and the return that they should get. And that's really the message, I guess.
Yeah, because I'm, you know, and we all hear it all the time, a lot of credit unions may not have the resources to keep this stuff in check? I mean, I'm not talking about, well, staff as well, but I'm talking financial as well. They may not have the resources, and if they overextend themselves, then they might get into some trouble. So it's great to have this kind of balance that you guys are talking about to really keep themselves in check and help them kind of grow this area in a controlled environment, I guess, for lack of
yes.
So is that kind of that sounds like kind of like the path we're going down, right?
Well, that's the Goldilocks effect that you mentioned early on. We need to be right in that middle area. We don't want to underspend and we don't want to overspend.
Yeah.
And again, understanding that vision, that mission, the culture, looking at things like their asset base to derive from that. Well, what should I be spending? Well, that's part of the equation. Now I have an amount of money. I have a budgetary amount.
Right.
But what should I do with that that adds the most value?
Yep.
When you put those two together, now we're talking about a solution.
Yep, indeed, indeed. Oh my gosh, guys, this is such a timely topic. I love this because as we're coming out of the year that we've had, this is so, so important for Creightons to really do this stuff so smart, because there's so many, like you said, Jack, there's so many fintech solutions out there. It's hard to choose from, and you can get so distracted and you can go in 50 different ways. And next thing you know, you're upside down and you're kind of like in a washing machine, swimming amongst all this technology, you don't know what to do with. So this is really great to have a guide to keep you on kind of on the straight and narrow.
You know, to that end, I would say that in the last year, 2020, we all dealt with it in different ways. But one thing that showed credit unions is, you know what? We can serve our members and we don't have to be inside the building. Yeah. So it really ramped up that digital transformation, but that wasn't a strategic plan. That was a tactical plan. We have to allow our people to work from home. We have to protect our members. We have to protect our employees. But it started the ball rolling and it opened a lot of eyes that now I can support my members. I can see to their financial well-being and I'm not tied to brick and mortar.
Yeah.
So now we're coming in and saying, okay, we're on the downside of COVID, of the big pandemic. What can we do with what we've learned to continue this value proposition? So that's where we are today.
Yeah. I think we're in a good spot. So it's a really, we're learning how to work more efficiently, more effectively. And that was the silver lining in many cases. So good stuff, guys. Jack, anything else here to add from your perspective?
Just hope everyone's doing well out there. You know, I'm just excited to get back to the conferences this year. I'm very ready for the last half of the year. There's a lot of activities happening, it seems like, in our industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just excited. I hope I get to see you, Mike, again in person, you know, by the fourth quarter.
It'll happen.
You know, and I just for me personally, that's really the exciting thing. We're back in the office for the first time in over a year today. I mean, which is exciting for me, enough in itself. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm just very, I'm excited about the future, and I hope everybody is, you know, that's kind of where I am.
Do you want to give your conference a plug real quick? Cause you guys are having yours in the fall, right? Is it October that you guys?
Oh, I don't want to plug ours. I mean, I'm excited about it, but I don't want to plug it. I'm just excited to see people, man. I just want to get out of the house and be around people, you know. I've gained 20 something pounds and I want to lose weight. I mean, I'm like in this whole thing where I'm like, I got a lot to do, you know. It's like, it's a whole new world again. And I'm excited about that. I think I just hated being, I'm not good at being a caged animal. I'm just ready to get out.
A lot of us are like that for sure. I think 10 of those pounds are right there in that beard. So,
yeah, a little bit, you'll be I actually had it down to here at one point during the pandemic, if you must know. And my wife hated it. And she was like, you got to get that thing trimmed up. So I did.
But. Are you going to deliver some presents or what's going on? Santa? Come on.
Well, okay. Have you guys seen the Santa Claus? Because my kids call me Scott Calvin. Yes. Ever since the pandemic, they said, Dad, you've become Scott Calvin. You're getting a white long beard and you're fat. You're becoming Santa Claus.
Oh my gosh. That's the reason why we got to see each other in person again. So it's fun to kind of sit around a table and just laugh and network and all that type of stuff. Trent, anything else to add on this one, sir? Because this is really, really good stuff. Appreciate it.
The only thing that I will add is I hope everyone has found their way through COVID. I hope that the lessons learned add value and continue to move the ball forward for the credit union industry.
Indeed. Well said. Well said. Gentlemen, on that note, I'm going to let you get back to work because you probably have a lot on your plate. So I don't want to keep you from your job. So, but I appreciate the time. So keep up the good work and be well, be safe. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.